Blog Talk Radio.
My name is Aaron Snow, and they call me the Hall of Fame Trainer of Champions, as we travel the world for past, present, and future stars. And coming to you live from Pottsville, Pennsylvania, our radio aficionado taking on us a ride around the world, Bob Murray. How you doing, Bob?
Hey, good morning, Aaron. Yes, well, you know, Pennsylvania is pretty big in the news this week as far as elections are concerned. All eyes on PA.
Hey, well, we got PA Joe, you know, Sloppy Joe and all of that. But, hey, Sloppy Joe's throwing a hell of a Sloppy Joe punch, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, you might as well get some of them Joe pierogies.
Joe got it
going on. Whatever he got, he's doing it, man. Pennsylvania Joe, man. He's and Pennsylvania Joe is right up the road from us, man. And we're happy to see that a Pennsylvanian. People were happy in our area when he got elected vice president with Obama, and for him to be president from our neck of the woods, up in the mountains, baby, Scranton, and we're on the foothills of the Pocono Mountains, and they're on top of the mountain. So we're all happy to see a Pennsylvania guy making it big.
Yeah, the second president from PA way back, James Buchanan way back, right before Lincoln. So it's been a long time since we had somebody we could call our own. And, yeah, it'll be fun to see what's going on. Well, man, the crazy times out there, no doubt.
Yeah, it's crazy time, and it looks like Joe, he pulled out that malarkey, that Pennsylvania malarkey.
You know
the Pennsylvania malarkey. You know, they say we all got it. You know, it's the malarkey, the Sloppy Joe, the pierogi. You know, he got the greatest 1-2 punch in the world, the Joe pierogi and the Joe Sloppy Joe Wright.
There you go. All right.
It's been fun. What a contest, you know, to see that America has went through a trial, and the system of America has been tested to its highest form, and it's shown and proved that with rules, regulations, and it's tested, it leads up, it lives up to the creed from the founding fathers. And don't forget, and people forget, and why we're happy at this time when the system is tested so well, Bob, is that a
right.
Pennsylvanian had came out to be president. Because don't forget, right here in good old Pennsylvania, baby, it all started with the Declaration of Independence, the Bill of Rights, you know, Carpenter's Hall, all of that down in Philadelphia in the sea. At this time in this election, it was tested and it proved to be steadfast. And
right.
and we're happy for that. You know, hey, look, you know, sometimes we win, sometimes we lose. But guess what? America's tried and tested, and the American people see that, you know.
You know, the other thing, too, we had the, of course, the largest turnout of votes, too, you know, I think in history, too. Lots of people actually were involved in this, you know, as far as a lot of times you see real low percentage counts as far as, you know, the actual people who vote. You have all the people eligible, but not a lot of people take the time and effort. And man, you know, the numbers are pretty big as far as the people who actually voted this time around, you know, way more than we had back in 2016 and before that even, too.
Yeah, of course. And don't forget, Bob, this Pennsylvania is not called the Keystone State for nothing. and guess what? You have a friend in Pennsylvania.
Hey.
Yeah, good old PA, good old PA. He takes a lickety, keeps on ticking it, lasts through the test of time. That's what we like to hear, you know, to see PAs back on the forefront and Sloppy Joe with the pierogi jab and the Sloppy Joe right hand that they were throwing in, you know, and the malarkey, the Pennsylvania malarkey, you know, we're just happy that all of those things were on the forefront, and it shows the creed that Pennsylvanians have. We can take it all in fun.
There we go. And you know, unfortunately, though, our local football teams, high school teams, didn't do so well on Friday night. So Pottsville High was pretty much beat themselves, and Nativity took one on the chin, too, to Tri Valley. And, you know, they had both had great years, but their seasons end as of Friday night there, too. But, yeah, Pottsville High, man, they threw that ball game away, man, fumbling and getting – touchdowns called back. Oh, heavens.
Yeah, it was like, what are you doing? You're throwing the punch and it's turning around and you're hitting yourself on the chin. You get knocked out of the game. You know, it looked like they had grease on the ball or something. Their hands were slippery and, you know, guys were losing it. Then they let guys snatch the ball out of their hand and run down the field. I say, No, it's a drive-by. Snatch the ball and run. I said, that's the oldest trick in football. But somebody didn't make them aware of it. And basically, Bob, they beat themselves. They had touchdowns called back. And if them touchdowns would have counted, they would have won the game. And they put them with their fumbles in field position for them to score. It was like, do you want the other team to win?
And the defense did actually well, holding them only to 14 points. Was it 14-8, I think, the final was. So, you know, you talked about the Pottsville High defense all year. But, you know, you just give the ball away like that and give the short field to a team like Wilson out of Easton, who they lost to. You know, you're just not going to do it when teams only have a short field to go. But
yeah,
they did hold them out of the end zone. I mean, it was good.
Yeah, 21-14 they lost.
It
was a tight game, but hats off to them. They got a young team, football team, and it looks like, you know, I think they learned from their mistakes when Tivity jumped on them. And they're the type of football teams, the games that they don't not supposed to, they're supposed to blow a team out, they have mental letdown, and they're going to have to work on that mental end of the game. They got to keep their intensity, like a wise man told me in boxing a long time ago, if they say you're fighting a baby, you better put your dukes up and throw some punches and don't let them hit you. He said, because if he hits you right, a baby will knock you out. So with that thought in mind, you know, when you're playing a team that everybody feels you should blow out, you got to keep that intensity and you got to stay focused. Where you don't fumble and stuff the football way, and you can't let people grab the football from you and take off down the field, you know. Those are fundamental things, and that's what happens to teams when you have a fundamental lapse. You know, it happens in boxing too. So, hey, they had a great year. They have things, and we're glad that with this young team, they put out, they have victories and stuff like that, and they did very well. So you just got to work on those things through the year, and next year, you know, see if they have a better season, you know.
And it was, with everything else going on this year, it's nice they actually had a season, and, you know, there was enough going on, some people were able to go to the games, and, you know, it's just been a wild year, as we all know, but they did give us some good times, as well as the TV, too. They had a great year as well. You know, played a lot of the bigger schools around here and came away, but still couldn't beat the Tri-Valley boys last night, though. They kind of ran all over. They didn't make the mistakes behind it. They just kind of got run over a little bit. Running back there for Tri-Valley, and he just, I don't know what his final totals were, but he rushed up and down the field quite a bit there. They couldn't stop him. So, anyway, it was good to, again, to have football actually happening here, too. So, it was just something to get the kids back out there. And, you know, it would be terrible if they would have lost their year, you know. This way, at least they got to play some. And, you know, you could look back on it in history and say, well, that was 2020, but they still played, you know, and still had a good year.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, Impossible was supposed to play North Schuylkill, who was undefeated, and if what we had said last week, that you know, they were playing an undefeated team, and they only had one loss at the time, and that was going to be one heck of a matchup. And then, you know, they're supposed to play another team, and then the other team, you know, they said, no, you're not going to play this team. You're going to play this team, Wilson, from down there by Allentown, and look like that Wilson team looked like they did their homework and was ready to play them. You know, yeah, so they lost. But, hey, look, there's some great things around the world, Bob, happening in boxing. So
right.
What do we got?
Yeah, we'll go around the world and we'll talk about some of the other things. Man, some of the things we'll talk about will be the COVID-19. I've got three positive tests we'll mention in a little bit. But let's start today at the Seminole Hard Rock Hotel and Casino, Hollywood, Florida, USA. It's going to be on The Zone with 21-year-old Devin Haney. He's 24-0, 15 KOs. He'll defend his WBC World Lightweight title against challenger Yuriorkis Gamboa, who's 30-3 with 18 KOs. Two 10-rounders top the undercard with heavyweights Filip Hrgović, 11-0, 9 KOs, and Rydell Booker, 26-3, 13 knockouts, squaring off, as well as the Zhile Zhang, 21-0, 16 KOs. He's out of China. He's a big, tough heavyweight that's trying to make a name over here in the U.S. He's going to make his debut fighting Devin Vargas, who's 22-6, 9 KOs. That's another heavyweight tilt there. Down here in Philadelphia, the 2300 Arena headlines with Mark Dawson, 6-0-1 versus Vincent Floyd, 4-9-1. That's a welterweight clash. And Taisi Sports of Argentina will be in Rock Hill, South Carolina for the Alberto Ignacio Palmetta, 14-1. He's an Argentine native versus Saul Carrao, 31-15. That's a super lightweight contest. Super lightweights Cornelius Bundres, 36-6, and Antoine Ellerson trade punches at the top of the card down in Bonita Springs, Florida. And it's Keith Rydell Mays Jr. versus Tracy Johnson in the heavyweight finale in Chattanooga, Tennessee. Charles Stackford takes on Brent Oren in a super welterweight bout that will close the show in Parkersburg, West Virginia. Davenport, Iowa, cast their show with the Andre Marquez versus Aaron Jamel Hollis featherweight fight. The middleweight, Darian Green, is showcased in Arnold, Missouri. Unbeaten Frank Sanchez, 15-0, 11 knockouts, fights Brian Howard, 15-3, 12 KOs for the WBO and ABO heavyweight belt at the top of an all-heavyweight card at the Microsoft Theater in L.A., California on Fox TV, which also features Luis Ortiz getting back in the ring, 31-2, 26 KOs, stepping in against the 18-2-1 with 16 knockouts, Alexander Flores. And the interim WBC Fecombox welterweight crown will be decided in Irapuato, Mexico, where Jose Luis Rodriguez Guerrero, 12-2-2, crosses the ropes with Alejandro Chavez Menezes. He's 12-4. While in Tijuana, there's two venues on tap. First is Rocco Santamaro, 19-1, slugging it out with a 10-4-2 Christopher Omar Enriquez in a super fight finale. And across town, it's Juan Gomez Torres fighting Aldo Miguel Delgado. And Europe, it's pretty quiet. There's all those new lockdowns in effect, so the only action really happening in Europe is in Pais Vasco in Spain. We're undefeated. Bantamweight Fran Mendoza, 10-0, dukes it out with a 7-3 Ricardo Martinez. And the co-main event has Ignacio Mendoza, 43 wins, 14 losses, 3 draws, battling Marius Estrade, who comes with a record of 3-7. Big card at the RCC Boxing Academy in Ekaterinburg, Russia. Top with the Roman Andreev, 23-0, 16 KOs, versus Pavel Malakhov, 16-2-1, 6 knockouts. It's a lightweight duel. Unbeaten super welterweight Magomed Kurbanov, 20-0, 12 KOs, takes on Dmitry Mikhailenko, 23-6, 10 KOs, at the top of the undercard, which also features Evgeny Romanov, 14-0, versus Sergey Vikakovich, 27-8, for the WBO Global Heavyweight Belt. And Evgeny Kishenko, 7-0, and 12-1, John McCallum, vie for the vacant WBO European Cruiserweight strap. In action tonight with middleweights Dmitry Shishabinya and Faiz Sharifi going at it. And out in the Far East, in Bang Phuong, Thailand, Anya Uthong, 54 wins, 8 losses, 36 knockouts, defends his WBC Asian Boxing Council featherweight title when he faces challenger Amna Ruinrong, 20-4, 6 KOs. And then the co-main event, Panachai Chalufak, he's 10-1, 8 KOs. Richard Fulakayo, he's 61-13-2, 25 knockouts. They fight for the WBC ABC flyweight crown. Dezuto Takasako, 12-0-1, and Riku Kunimoto, 4-0, vying for the Japanese middleweight belt in the headliner in Tokyo, Japan. And Ordos, China, they end the night with the Nirapoli Wulong versus Shaohang Tai middleweight belt. There we go. We're going down to 18 countries. We dropped a bit, as we mentioned, all the problems in Europe and other places in South America, getting a new spike in coronavirus cases, but there were still some good fights happening tonight, eight countries, though, which is just, again, kind of down from where we've been. We're going kind of the opposite direction here a little bit with the COVID-19.
Oh, absolutely, Bob. COVID-19 ain't going nowhere. And, hey, look, something has to – we're going to have to make some adjustments somewhere along the way to try to slow this this thing down, and see. We'll see if the new president has a plan on the agenda coming out to shoot for this great pandemic, and what are they exactly going to do to try to slow this thing down.
Right, and let's talk about some of these positive tests. The big one came out this week. Povetkin, the white Povetkin fight is now off for the 5th of December. They're talking maybe January 30th. Povetkin came down positive test. Also, WBC super featherweight champ Miguel Burchelt, he tested positive. So that fight he was going to have against Oscar Valdez on the 12th of December is out right now as well. Plus, a fight that was going to happen this coming Wednesday, the 11th, European bantamweight title fight, that's postponed now after Lee McGregor tested positive, and he was to fight Karim Gurfi. So there's three big fights that were happening that are going to go away, and maybe they'll get rescheduled. But also another piece of news, COVID-19 related, ESPN is going to lay off 300 jobs, too, just, again, part of the economic hit that this pandemic is giving the whole world.
Oh, yeah, absolutely, Bob. The economic hit is happening all over boxing. But don't forget, Barry Hearns tested positive for COVID, who is the chairman of the board for Matchroom Boxing. And also, Eddie Hearns, the son, who's the president of Matchroom Boxing, he tested positive. And to see all of these other fighters in Europe testing positive, was that thing where they were at training and all that, were they really truly underneath a bubble, and was the bubble working? I don't think so, because guys are coming out of there testing positive, and if they were in that bubble, they weren't following the protocols that you need to stay safe, you know, and by cleaning and keeping your distance, wearing your mask and all that. And, you know, all of these things are important in the bubble. You see the NFL, you know, when people didn't follow the rules and the rigs for this thing during the pandemic, even the NFL had problems, and the NFL and baseball had problems when people didn't go along with the protocol set up. But when them people got it, they separated them, they rededicated themselves, reiterated the rules and the regulations, and they could move forward. And they see that the disease had come down, the spread of the virus had came down. It was little or nothing where they could keep on going. And boxing's going to have to do that. We mentioned right. that before, you know, in these gyms and stuff like that, you just have to be very sanitized, very, very clean at what you're doing. When guys are sparring, hitting the heavy bags after they finish, got to wipe down them gloves, wipe down the heavy bags, the sit-up tables, and they should be practicing that anyway. That helps not only this serious disease, but it helps other diseases and virus that manufacture in gyms anyway. So great practice of cleanliness is next to godliness, we should say. So keep it clean, even though you ain't going to use it.
Right. And, you know, just another example of when the bubble really does work. just want to just hats off to the NBA because they had that big bubble. They played there for a couple months and they had zero cases. So it shows you that a bubble can work. And of course, the bubble out there at the MGM Grand in Las Vegas is working as well too. So, you know, when you do take the precautions, you can beat this thing and keep it away from you, you know, and it's been proven. But like you say, man, it's sometimes complacency sets in. It's like, hey, we've been dealing with this thing since March, man. Come on, it can't be that bad. And boom, you know, you're coming down with it because you gave up a little bit and you're just taking, you know, it's out there. It's like a fighter, man. You're talking about, you sit there and all of a sudden one punch, bam, that's it. And that's what the virus can do to you too. You know, you're sitting there and you just kind of relax a little bit. Next thing you know, bam, you're in bed.
Yeah, Bob, and we talked about this on the show too. You had mentioned about ESPN laying off people, workers, and stuff like that. The big box of news that is circling Oscar De La Hoya and Canelo Alvarez have been in a dispute, and it looks like Oscar De La Hoya had released him from contract, and Canelo Alvarez is taking his walking papers. But, you know, when he walks away, you know, is he walking away from that $385 million deal on the other side? And that's big in boxing. That type of money and things like that don't come around all the time. But as we said before, you know, Oscar De La Hoya and Golden Boys, they're going to have to relook at themselves and reorganize and read something about their effort. You know, with HBO going out of business, then you get a prime champion who's been with them 10 years like that, and you cut a big deal, $385 million, and when it comes down to the MONEY, there's shortfalls, and those things can't happen, man. Not on the top end, you know, guys.
Right.
So it looks like Canelo Alvarez is going back into the free marketplace.
It's a good move too, because the lawsuit is going to drag out as lawsuits do. So, you know, Canelo is just going to be sitting there. Instead, he's making a move. He said he's been released from De La Hoya. And that, now they're talking about a fight on the 19th of December. It'll be pay-per-view with the PBC and Fox. He's going to be, right now we're talking about him fighting Caleb Plant, who is the IBF super middleweight champion. The American kid, was he from Tennessee, you know, came up and helped everybody last year. Now, you know, he's going to be stepping in with Canelo Alvarez, which is funny because the whole DAZN thing with, they were talking about, well, Billy Joe Saunders isn't the right kind of guy to fight him, and Callum Smith isn't the right kind of guy to fight him. They're not big names, but, you know, Alvarez, he just wants to get out there and fight somebody. So if it's Caleb Plant, there's a belt on the line, he said, let's go for it. You know, we'll see what happens. We were talking a couple weeks ago about the schedule for the rest of the year, and we were kind of finishing up saying a lot of things were going to end on the 12th, but here's a fight now the following week on the 19th. Which, you know, Canelo's just got to get in there. He's got to get in there and start playing again. And this will be
to keep his tools sharp. You know, you gotta stay active to stay sharp. So, you know, he's still young, and he got to keep that. These are his prime years, his earning years.
Exactly, prime years, yeah.
Yeah, so when he filed that $280 million lawsuit, for a breach of contract with Golden Boys and the DAZN, and now to be released. I don't think they released from that lawsuit, but, you know, as we were saying before, is that the lawyers, hey, man, the billable hours they hit you with. Oh, my God, man. And you're not fighting. So I think, you know, with that thought in mind, that Canelo Alvarez is doing the right thing. He got to get back out there, start fighting, you know, keep earning money and keep fighting for your freedom, justice, and equality in the bank book. And when we talk about those type of things, man, you know, we mentioned about that Joe Louis act that rule that fell underneath Muhammad Ali. And Muhammad Ali end up with that tax act, you know,
with the 10 businessmen. His contract ran out, but, you know, they formed a thing against the man that Ali was only earning less than 10% of his money.
Right.
And they were burning him up with tax money and stuff like that. So, you know, you have to look at all of those type of things when you're making that kind of money, because everybody wants their hand in the pot. Everything is one, two, skip a few, three, four skips and more. And the next thing you know, the prime earner is out the door. But like Ali said, you need a bean counter. You need somebody to count the beans and hope the bean counter don't drop some on the floor and sweep it out the door.
Exactly. Speaking of beans, we didn't really get a total number yet from that Showtime pay-per-view last week. I'm hearing around 235,000. That could give or take a few more yet. But I do want to mention that tonight on Showtime, they'll be doing a replay. That'll be 9 o'clock tonight Eastern time for the Davis Santa Cruz fight. But, you know, news came out this week. Davis is wanted for a suspect in a hit-and-run accident, too. Ran a red light and hit some cars and took off. So that's kind of a weird thing, too. We'll see what happens. That was a couple days ago. I haven't heard any updates on if he turned himself in or anything yet. But there's just another, you know, bad example there, man. You know, the guy goes out, puts on a great show, wins a big fight, and next thing you know, he's wanted by the law, man. That just kind of isn't right.
Yeah, well, hey, Bob, it's all about karma. The first thing they do is start talking about these organizations. It's all about money talk. But let me tell you, Bob, these solid organizations such as the WBC, the WBA, the IBF, and the WBO, they work on building a great reputation like the NFL or the NBA. Good structure, great business, year after year, taking guys that are nobody and turning them into somebody. And with the WBC, you know, these guys are solid and been solid for years. They have stood up and fought for people, freedom, justice, and equality. Hey, look, the WBC, Jose Suleiman and Mauricio Suleiman, Jill Diamond and them, they stood up and fought for the pardon of Jack Johnson, and we won. They stood up for Muhammad Ali when everybody stripped him of everything that he had. And they worked with them to try to build them back to WBA, and they did, and the WBO and all of them. And, you know, when them guys are nobody, if they were so great at them doing it themselves, they would already be great, and they wouldn't need to be champion. So the first thing happens, Bob, no sooner they become champion, they get a name because of the title and what they do, then they want to say they don't need the organization. And it was the organization in them gave you the opportunity to fight the man that beat the man that fought the man that beat the man so you could be the man. You see what I mean? And this is what makes makes you a great champion is because you fought the man that beat the man that fought the man that beat the man, and they can track it all the way back. You know what I mean? And just you fighting out there with your name with no recognized title, and you ain't fighting the man that beat the man that fought the man that beat the man, then you really ain't the man. And these networks and these streaming companies, if you don't have one of those major titles and stuff, they ain't going to want to pay you as much, because you don't demand that much because you ain't really the man. See? And that's what guys have to get into their head, is that everybody needs somebody. And when people give you opportunities, respect the opportunities. Just ask for fair play and to be treated as such. You know what I mean? Don't be castrating the same organizations that help you get what you got.
Right.
You know what I mean? And
right.
That's what this is what Davis said. He went out on the limb and he did that, and it starts the wrong karma coming your way. You know, walk with kings and queens and keep the common person touched. But, hey, like a wise guy told me a long time ago, he said, look, when you're in a certain position and you're on top, you can afford to be nice and you can afford to be a gentleman's gentleman. You know, and that's what
absolutely.
He has to learn how to do, Bob. He's going to have to learn how to walk with the kings and queens and keep a common person touch and be the gentleman and the gentleman. And, you know, and walk like a champ, talk like a champ, so you can be the champ and you can remain the champ. And then you become the people's champ. And because at the end of the day, it is the boxing fans and the people's champ that love to follow the sport. And by organizations having the structure, it enables them to follow the game, you know, and see who's rated, who's on top, this and that. If you don't have organization, it's a tough thing. It's a tough thing to do, and it's hard. The game would be hard to follow. And right now, it's difficult to follow anyway because the rotation of champions, these guys out there now just can't hold on the title for a long run. There's just a small hand few, you know. So it makes it difficult, Bob.
Hey, you know, here's something about the WBC, too. Speaking of them, this week it was announced they're making a trilogy fight here for Juan Francisco Estrada and our man from Thailand, the 22 million viewer guy, Sisaka Suorungvisai. They're talking about the super flyweight, making that the fight everybody wants to see. And that kind of leaves out the WBA's Chocolatito Gonzalez. He's out of the picture right now. But any one of those three guys, you know, they basically are doing what you're telling right now. You know, they're gentlemen, and they're the three big names in the super fly division. And we have Estrada and Ringvisai for the third time, and we'll see where Chocolatito fits in down the road. But, you know, those are three prime examples of guys at the top of the game. They're the three big names in the Superfly division, and, you know, we'll see how that all plays out, of course, when they fight. But that's just a positive thing to go along with what you're saying.
Yeah, absolutely, Bob. You know, and you never miss a good thing to it's gone, and Dante Wilder is a prime example, you know.
Right.
Plenty opportunities that fell in his lap. And he was in a thing where he was offered $100 million. And we talked about this many days on the show here and talking. We felt at the time, all of us did, that he made a great mistake by not taking that $100 million. How can somebody tell and talk to you, from not signing a $100 million deal? $100 million is $100 million.
Yes,
you know
is.
What I mean? And then be champion and champion of the world. And then coming back around the block, you know, they offered him a big fight, big dollars again. And it fell in his lap again. And he failed to seize the moment and seize the opportunity, failed to take the money, to step aside money and be right back in line where he could fight for all the titles at one time, get the step aside money for doing nothing, and still get millions and millions of dollars in the shot to win all the titles, to be undisputed champ in one fight. And he couldn't see it. He couldn't see it like the young man that fought on ESPN, you know. He sees the moment, sees the opportunity. In one fight, he got all the belts. Now he's the rising star, you know. And then Bob Arum for them to say, well, Dante Wilder's people didn't read the contract. What do you mean? Here you got a top brass lawyer, been around the game a long time. You mean to tell me he didn't read the contract? There's some shiggity in that. And for Dante Wilder, as a veteran trainer, I trained many heavyweight champs, trained many champions from bantamweight to heavyweight. Tell them this. When you lose together. And when you win together. You know, stop trying to find and make excuses with everybody and everything of why you weren't successful in one fight. You know, putting the blame game on Mark Brill.
Well, Albert's still doing that. He's still talking about the gloves and this and that. Everything. He's still making excuses months later. And he's not getting busy getting in the ring. You know, he's still making excuses.
Yeah, he's putting the blame game. And what he has to do in his mind is say, look, I got my rear end kick. And it wasn't the referee. It wasn't the trainer. How I was getting hit. It was a jab. It was a right hand. And I was getting hit with. So what do I have to do to counter those things? Because every punch in boxing, Bob, that's thrown, there's always a counter a punch with. So, you know, it's always offense, defense, defense, offense, defense, offense, defense, offense, because you can always be countered when someone's punching at you or when you're punching. So you have to get that in your head to find out what in my style, my repertoire, do I have to stop getting from this hit with this punch, and what are the counter punches for that style of punch I'm getting hit with. And you know, it seems like he got hit so hard it has knocked him in a silly position where he don't know if he came or went or if he's come or going. And he don't know the trainer, this and that. Now, I want to let him know this. If somebody spiked your water, it's going to come out in your urine test after
right.
the fight. You know what? Or pre-fight. You know
yeah.
what I mean? It's going to come out your body, especially you're drinking water. Your body's on, you know, thrusting. If you're in dynamite shape, it should be, your heart should be beating 240 beats a minute. So what you drink then, it's coming through your system. By the time all the stuff after the fight, you being knocked out, doctors checking you. By the time you make it back to the dressing room to take the urine test, it's going to show up. It's going to show up in your urine, Bob. So
yes, it is.
That kind of stuff is nonsense. You should stop it. Is because you're saying a lot of stuff, man. The trainer, the boxing commissions, the inspectors, all of this. You know, first he went with the gloves. The gloves were this and that.
Well, it was the 40-pound suit, though. Yeah, remember that? Yeah, the 40-pound suit he was wearing. That was it. It got him tired. You know, this was one after another.
Yeah, and the thing about it is say, look, I want to fight for the championship. I'm going to do whatever it takes. I limit the excuses. I go to the drawing board and learn to fight a better fight, and I'm going to try to get in dynamite shape, and I'm going to go and fight to win. That's the way he should look at this thing. And, Bob, I'm going to tell you what, man. My mother told me a long time ago. She said, when you point your finger at people all the time with the blame game, the street finger's pointing back at you, one pointing at the finger who you're judging against, and one up to the sky with God. So, you know, get yourself right. Take the responsibility as a fighter. And say, I didn't fight the fight that I need to fight, and I need to work on fighting a better fight. And I blame nobody, and I take full responsibility, whatever happened. And then you can grow, then you can improve, and then you can fight to win. Until that, the blame game is going to be the same. If you fight the person you need to fight, the same result going to happen because you're not working on the things that you did wrong. You steadily point the finger. And the hardest thing in the world, Bob, is to say, I was the problem.
Right.
You know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So
he's going to have to move on that way. And for
Wilder, his name was just dropping further and further down the list. You know, we saw Usyk last week. You know, he got a big win, his second heavyweight fight. So his name is back up there, you know, as far as unifications maybe in 21 next year and everything else that's going on. You know, we still have the Joshua Pulev fight coming up in about a month or so. And you know, it's all out there for people. And Wilder, is just, he's missing the boat, man. You know, definitely.
Yeah, he's missing the boat. And time is ticking. You know, he's in his mid-30s. Another year go by, you get over that mid-age 30, and boy, you know, for heavyweights, you know, you're not on the top of the hill anymore. You're on the other side of the hill going down. You got to realize that. So he's going to have to do those things. But Tyson Fury, Anthony Joshua, it's the fight that boxing needs at this time. If they can pull that fight off, Tyson Fury and Anthony Joshua, no question you're going to see a clash of two great heavyweight champions. And they have one man in common who was a great heavyweight champion, was Klitschko. So it's something that would be the measuring stick that we would look at to aim the judge to see who would come out of the winner. But all of the promotions leading up to that fight, you know, with Anthony Joshua and Tyson Fury, you will see one heck of a fight. That's going to be a heck of a heavyweight championship fight, and I can't wait. The boxing fans need it. You know, we need this, and I think that the money and all of that is going to be large and big, you know, for both and Tyson Fury and Anthony Joshua know how to build it up. Two classy guys, two class acts, and it's great to see both of them as heavyweight champion of the world.
Right, and Fury's still trying to find an opponent for that December date, too. The one that he was supposed to do the third fight with Wilder, and we know that's off now, but we'll see who finally gets in the ring with him, because he wants to get in there and do something before that fight happens in 21 with Joshua. But, you know, interesting tonight will be something to see what Luis Ortiz does, too. You know, here's a guy that's been there and lost the title fights. You know, he only has two losses, and he's a name that could get himself back in the talk tonight, too, if he gets a big win.
Yeah, I think Ortiz will win tonight. I think he'll win. You know, he's been there. You know, it looked like he's still hungry, but I think he will come out on top, Bob. With that,
right. And I also said in our little trip around the world, you know, we have this Chinese guy that nobody knows and who's making his debut down in Florida tonight, Zhile Zhang. I mean, he's undefeated, 21-0, 16 knockouts. He's a big, tough guy. And we'll see what he does fighting at Devin Vargas. But there's another name coming in from Asia that's putting his name in that. So, you know, while they're sitting here doing nothing, man, you got these guys that are hungry that are jumping over them, you know, as far as, you know, fights people might want to see down the road somewhere, you know. We could see a good Chinese versus UK fight or something like that, you know, get the countries involved. And, you know, we got a guy from China that could be the heavyweight champion of the world in a couple of years, maybe, you know. This guy's a big dude, man. He's a fighter.
Yeah, absolutely. Hey, one thing about that heavyweight division, you have to be on the top of your game, is because one punch, you know, I mean, really, their weight shifts a certain way, and they hit you at a certain spot, you know, it's bombs away and out you go. You know, it's something that we all know about that heavyweight division, that heavyweight punch. Things changed in an instant in that heavyweight division when you're fighting these big guys like that. So,
and look at Ruiz, too, you know, Ruiz. I mean, yeah, you know, who beat Joshua, you know, that was like a big upset, one of the biggest ones in a while, and he did it like you just saying, you know, he went out and did what he had to do and ended up pulling off the big upset. But Joshua came back to regain his belt, but there it was, you know, it was there for the taking, and Ruiz took it.
Yeah, he did, and he had to get up off the deck. He got up off the deck and did that. So
You know, that's what we talk about, that heavyweight punch. You know, one punch changed the game in that heavyweight division, as we've seen. But always the cream rises to the top. And those top echelon fighters, you know, sometimes it's your day, ain't your day. But given another day, they live up to the creed of who they are. So we have to continue to look at that, looking up and down all of divisions. You know, it's good to see during this time the quality of fights that we see. And we talked about, Bob, when this thing first came out and they said how long it was going to be, and we said if some fights are going to happen, some people are supposed to win ain't going to win, and some people that are supposed to win ain't going to win, and those that's going to lose ain't going to lose, they're going to win. And we have seen that, Bob.
Yes, we have. Yes, we have. There's many of those examples to talk about, I mean, over the past 6 months or so. You know, but another fight that's going to be interesting tonight, and we were talking about the young up-and-coming fighters, 21-year-old Devin Haney. You know, that's tweet about the great lightweights with the Lopez-Lomachenko fight. You know, Henry Haskup was on giving us the history of the lightweights. But here's another kid up-and-coming, man. We'll see what he does tonight, too. He's facing a guy that's been around for a while, Gamboa. And we'll see what Haney can do, because this is another big step for him, too.
Well, I think Haney would do it. You know what I mean? You know, he's going to have to take Gamboa, who has an experience. He has to be in dynamite shape to take him down. If he can hurt him early and take him down the stretch, maybe he can come out with a 12-round decision or something like that. You know?
Right. Yeah.
You know. Yeah, so that's the main thing that we're looking at, if we can get that under play and get that in, you know.
Right. Hey, also want to go back.
I think Haney would do good. I think he'll come out on top.
I think he might too come out. I'm looking for it. Again, it's what he's going to do when he gets in there, you know, and we'll see where his head's at. I think he's going to do all right, but that's why they fight, you know.
that's why you play the game.
That's why you play the game, as they say. Dude, I just wanted to make another mention about some of the fights last week, too. You know, we got to see Savannah Marshall, man. We're looking forward. That looks like the Clarissa Shields and Savannah Marshall fight might be taking place sometime next year. You know, Marshall's the only girl ever put a hurting on Shields, you know, beat her amateur days. And you know, she took care of business against Rankin, who was a former champion. And, you know, we got the middleweight WBO world female middleweight now, you know, is Savannah Marshall. She's 8-9-0 now, and again, we got some good fights to look forward to in 21, especially with the women too. The Katie Taylor fight's coming up in a couple of weeks too, which is going to be something. What's that? That's next week actually. We're going to have another look at. That's going to be four belts on the line, all the female lightweight belts.
Right.
Katie Taylor. Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely. Hey, Bob, you know, with all of that going on, it would be good to see Clarissa Shields, you know, with that 2021. And don't forget Leila Ali. That talk slowed down. So maybe, you know, we can see all of that in action. You know, you know, get a little round robin going with those big names.
Well, exactly, right. And, you know, we also have Michaela Mayer made that big win last week, too, for the super featherweight title as well. So we always talk about the women, and we're keeping an eye on a lot of these up-and-coming women fighters, too, who are making names for themselves, like Mayer and Marshall and some of these other ones, too. And actually, you know, we got the girl next week that's going to be fighting Katie Taylor with the Gutierrez, man. She's got herself – she can walk out with four belts. I don't know if that's going to happen. We'll see where Taylor's at. She's a great fighter. But, you know, again, that's why you get in the ring and do these fights. And you look at four belts and you say, man, how could he not, like, give it your best, you know? If you lose,
yeah,
you lose, like you said.
Absolutely, you know. And you guys, you know, you got all of these heavyweights, you know, they're calling out each other and this and that. So we'll see what happens. You know, we'll see what Flip does. I think at 12-0, 10 knockouts, you know, the night. I think he's down there in the Hard Rock. I think he'd come out on top. I think he'd do a good job. You know, one thing about him, you got to watch him early. You know, he's a, you know, so if he can get up there, you know, and win tonight, you know, against Booker, maybe he'll call out some of these other heavyweights that are sitting around, like a Parker or Hunter. You know, those guys that are up there, the echelon fighters, you know. At 6'6", these guys are big
guys. Yeah, they look great, too, yeah.
Yeah.
That's going to be another big heavyweight fight tonight that we're going to look forward to seeing, too. And, you know, it's just one of those things. We want to just see all these names. And like I said, the further these guys go, the further down the line Wilder goes, you know, because sooner or later his name's going to be out of the picture and going to be like, who's that? Okay, he was great once, yeah, but we want to see a Hrgović or a Zhang or some of these other new faces and new names that are going to be making their moves here.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You know, that's one thing about fighters when you're an amateur and you make it high in the amateurs, you know, you go to like the World Games and Olympic competition and stuff like that. You get to see all of these guys, you know,
there,
you get to see to watch them. And those guys that don't make it to that level, they said, well, where this guy come from? You know, how long has he been fighting? And guys that have fought in amateurs and international competition, you get to take a look at these guys, say, yeah, I see him. He's good. He's been at all of these tournaments and stuff like that where I've been. He's winning. I'm watching him. He's good, you know. So you get to look at his style, you know, and stuff like that. And so when, you know, as an amateur, you may get to meet him. You might not. But when in the pros, you see him and hear about him, say, I know this guy. You know, and this is what happens when you have fighters that have a good amateur background in that 40.
You know, another guy that's going to fight tonight, undefeated, another heavyweight, a name, fighting for that WBO, NABO title, that's Frank Sanchez, another undefeated fighter, got a good knockout rate. And again, you know, he's on that big card, all heavyweights happening out there in L.A. on Fox TV tonight, you know, getting a little regular television there to get the exposure. It's not going to cost people anything to watch these fights. And, you know, we'll get to see what Frank Sanchez is about, too. Another name that's been tossed around out there, too.
Oh, absolutely, Bob. You know, it gets them the exposure fighting on Fox. You know, people get to take a peek at him and say, hey, man, this guy got talent. He's going somewhere. And I'm going to keep a track of them, you know. So, you know, that's a good thing, man. That's a good thing. But it should be a good fight, Bob.
Yeah, like you said, we got some good ones lined up tonight all over. Unfortunately, the virus has shut down most of Europe. But, you know, we were getting some good fights that were being planned there for Germany and Italy and places like that, but I don't know how long that's going to last now, this new shutdown that's happening throughout Europe. But the numbers are scary, you know. Let's go back to that, like we started the show with. You know, the United States, man, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday was three straight days of new daily records of coronavirus cases, man. That's just this is crazy. And Schuylkill County is really bad. There were 21 deaths last week in Schuylkill County alone, which brings our total up to 112 people. And Pottsville is over 500 cases now. And, you know, those are just numbers that are staggering when you take a look at them and say, man, 510 people in Schuylkill County, man, that's an increase of 46 people in 1 week.
And
back to that complacency, people are gathering, you know, they're not paying attention to what they're doing. And you know, that's just it. You know, people, again, I want to keep emphasizing the mask wearing, you know. We do that, but you go around, you see people with their masks just covering their mouth. That doesn't work. You got to have the nose covered, too. Because it's about touching things and then touching your nose. How often do you, like, scratch your nose or do something like that during the course of a day? You're not necessarily putting your fingers in your mouth, but you are touching your nose. And that's the easiest way to get this virus.
Yeah, absolutely. with Povetkin, like you said earlier, testing positive, you know, he went over there and fought Dylan White. So he was supposed to be in that bubble, Bob. And, hey, look, he came down with the virus. So, look, man, there's a lot of this going on. And we're talking about this virus and crowds and things like that. The Roy Jones Tyson fight, you know, we gotta talk about that because
it's
getting a lot of press, you know, around. The WBC they're making a special belt for them in this fight,
right.
which is a beautiful thing, you know, because both of them been great champions. Roy Jones, a middleweight champion, you know, he's went up four divisions and became heavyweight champion, and Mike Tyson, youngest heavyweight champion in history of boxing. So you got two major legendary stars going up against each other for this exhibition that it seems like it's going to happen. You know, there's been a lot, you know, it's been postponed from September to November, but the question that crowd, is there going to be a crowd? Is it, what's it going to be, a bubble? Are people going to be able to attend? There's a lot of unanswered questions that we don't know. And a lot of people don't know. Some people want to go, and some people say, we don't have no answers. We don't have no questions, Bob. So I think they got to get going down the stretch here. They're going to have to start working on that if they want a crowd and things like that.
Yeah. You know what? I just want to make a point, too. We talked about the Davis-Santa Cruz fight last week. That was at the Alamo Dome. And they actually did one of those 50% capacity things. They had 9,400 people actually in attendance. And I haven't heard anything as far as, you know, any results as far as if there was a cluster of COVID or anything else. But, you know, if it worked, it worked. They had 9,400 people. It was one of the biggest crowds we've had in a while in any sport, really.
Right. So, hey, look. Hey, it's the crowd factor is a big thing, I think, in this Roy Jones and Mike Tyson fight. With Mike Tyson fighting in front of large crowds and stuff like that, it's that thrill of that victory, this roar and the sound of the crowd. And with a crowd not being in, will it play on his mental part of the fight? You know, Mike Tyson's a real mental type of guy in
right.
fighting. You know what I mean? Will he lose his focus by not having a crowd? But with a crowd, he's used to fighting very, very large crowds. So could that be in favor for Roy Jones? And that's something to look at, Bob, in this fight
right.
with Mike Tyson and him. November 28th, you know, it's something to look at. The belt is nice that they made for him, the WBC. And I want to thank Mauricio Suleiman for being a guy that's always on the edge looking to better the sport for the WBC. And that belt is nice, man. It got Mike Tyson versus Roy Jones, the WBC logo on the side. And it has Black Lives Matter on the belt, too, with Mike
right.
Tyson's picture on there, and it has Tyson versus Jones, man. So it's a good-looking belt, man. So it's something to fight for, and I know both of them, somebody wants to win, and both of them want to win, and somebody's going to get the belt. Somebody ain't going to get the belt, but it looks like it's going to be a nice piece in the trophy case.
Right, and it is a $50 pay-per-view, which is not the $75 that we've been seeing lately. And we talked about, you know, the Jake Pauls are going to be fighting, and Nate Robinson is going to be fighting, the gold slam dunk champion. And we don't really know the entertainment yet, but there are some big names being tossed around. So it sounds like it's going to be a good deal for $50, too. That sounds like a price point that we kind of like.
Yeah, I think that's good, you know. With that, David, with 250,000 buys at $75 a thing, which is a low number, you know, with 10 seconds left, Bob, the rules and regulations, we're glad that the WBC
has come together to get those rules and regulations together that's going to govern this match. And, you know, we're going to talk about the history of rules and regulations next week because we had technical difficulties, you know, today and stuff like that. And Henry Hathcop is going to bring us up to date with all of that next week, Bob. So
in closing,
Bob, we want to thank everybody for tuning in to the World Boxing Review radio show. My name is Aaron Snow. They call me the Hall of Fame Trainer of Champions and our radio aficionado who took us around the world. Great job, Bob. And Henry Hathcop will be back next week, same time, 11 to 12. Thank you.
Thank you. See you later. Thanks.
All right. Bye.